No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. You're listening to Cluck, the podcast where Ted Cluck and Josh Loftus talk about the things that make them happy. Because we can. Let's do it.
Ted, my man, good morning. It's good to be with you. You are in a chipper mood this morning.
Yeah.
Lots of reasons for that.
Yeah, dude, I got to coach this morning, so I got to be with my guys. That was fun. Mm-hmm. We have a game next week. Our opener is a week from today at Lane College, so that was fun. But now I got a whole slate of good football to watch today, and I'm fired up about that, too.
Yeah. So what does today look like? Because obviously today's kind of like the main start of college ball. I know you're a big college ball guy.
Yeah.
Now, like when you're wrapping your mind around, okay, this is what today is going to look like.
Yeah.
Like, what are you looking forward to? Like, what do you like, do you got your, is it just, I'm just going to veg all day, or does Ted have the TV on, his snacks over here, and then it's notebooks, and he's just like writing down, like he's got the whiteboard, right? Like, what's today
Dude,
look like
weird.
For Ted?
It's kind of none of the above. Like, I'm not a great veg guy. I'm not a guy who can just sit for hours on end. So I think how it's going to go is I'll watch a little Syracuse, Tennessee after we get done. You know, those are two programs that I'm interested in, and I'll watch that for a bit. Probably get a workout of my own mid-afternoon. I'm trying to coerce my son Tristan to throw the pads on and bang around with me a little bit today in the yard and knock the rust off.
There
you go. So, you know, get the hand back in the football action. I've been sparring on it, but I haven't played football on it. So. Yeah, we'll get out in the yard, bang around a little bit. I'm going to a friend's house tonight to probably watch the Ole Miss game. My buddy's an Ole Miss fan, so we'll get that in tonight, and it'll just be a good day of ball. But I'll tell
That's
you,
awesome.
More and more, with NIL and the portal and everything happening in college football, I gravitate towards small college ball more. So I'll find a Division II game, or I'll find an NAI game or something to watch, and that kind of makes me happy. So.
Yeah,
that'll be
well,
fun.
That's always been your thing, Ted. You've always been for the small guy. You always have been.
And I love small college football, cool. Man. There's something romantic about small college ball, watching kids who, by and large, have gone to the same school for 4 years, and they went there probably for reasons, you know, in addition to football. You know, it's a school they want to be at. You know, they're going to classes. Mm-hmm. They're sitting in the classroom on Monday morning with bags of ice on their knees and banged up. And to me, that's college football. That's what it should look like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Are you going to be watching my Cougs at all this year?
Dude, I'll watch the Cougs. The Cougs were my,
come on, man.
The Cougs were my night game team when, oh, who was the coach that was there? He was a coach I loved, man.
Lynch.
When he was there, they were my,
Love
they
Lynch,
were my,
dude.
Yeah, they were my night game team. So, you know,
Rest
that was
peace. Great coach.
Oh, I know it. Great coach. Great coach. Yeah. But, you know, I usually pick a night game team every year that I'm interested in. And maybe it'll be the Cougs just for you, man. Maybe I'll get some Cougs gear, you know?
Dude, Cougs gear is elite. Like,
dude, I like that uniform. Dude, I've always loved that uniform going uniform. All the way back to Ryan Leaf. The kind of burgundy jersey with the silver pants and silver helmet. That's always looked really good on TV.
Yeah.
My Pats, my New England Patriots, have a Cougs wide receiver who's a rookie named Kyle Williams, who he's a burner. He can really take the top off. So that's something they haven't had. So I'm excited for him as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's so cool. So I've got to ask, because I know people are going to ask, and we're going to get ahead of it. We're gonna actually get ahead of things this this time. We have to hear your thoughts on the new jerseys for the NFL, because many teams, dude, it's across the board, and there's some winners and there's some losers.
Yeah.
We want to hear Ted's thoughts on the jersey overhaul that happened this year.
Well, I'll preface it by saying a couple things. Number one, these are what they call the quote-unquote rivalry jerseys, so they'll only come out, you know, as far as I understand it, they'll only come out once or twice a season. I have not looked at all of them, but the ones I've looked at have been cheeks, dude. They've been booty. I don't like them at all. And hear this.
Yeah.
Baked into the definition of the word uniform is that, like, from week to week, you know what team you're watching.
Right. It's the same.
It's the same. It's uniform. It's right? Uniform. And so call me old-fashioned, call me 100 years old. I like the idea of a uniform. And now the NFL standpoint is we create another jersey, we can sell another jersey in the pro shops and all that, and I get the business behind it, but they look bad, dude. I don't want to see the Buffalo Bills and glance at their uniform and feel like it looks like the Oakland Raiders, like, road uniform. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you start conflating color schemes and things like that, I just think it's a bridge too far. I don't want to see the Rams in all black. I just don't. I don't like it. Now, I think some of them are good looking. I think New England's is serviceable. Like, I think it's decent. I actually love the NE on the shoulder with New England's, but I have to look at the whole slate of uniforms to really get an opinion. But I don't like the idea of it. I'll say that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's fair. I've seen mixed reviews. Everyone I talk to has a different thought.
Well,
and has
part
a different
of it, Josh,
to it.
Part of it is, like, when I was a kid, I could only afford to go to, like, one game a year. And if I had gone to my one Colts game a year in the Hoosier Dome and they showed up in some, like, third-tier,
like, all white,
you know,
jersey.
janky uniform, and I didn't even know what I was. I wanted to go see the Colts, man. I wanted to see the blue jerseys and the white pants, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of where I am on that, conception.
Yeah, I think one of the funniest reactions I saw, I don't know if it was a tweet or something, I think there was, like, it's going to be really awesome seeing the Bills look so good going 2-8.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, the Bills are not going to go 2-8. The Bills are going to be, they're going to be a good football team, but.
Yeah. Last year was good for them, but. Yeah. I have been of the opinion for the past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if you share it.
Yeah.
That the NFL is scrambling. The NFL is doing all that they can.
Yeah.
To gain, like, back some vestiges of views that they have lost over the years by some pretty bad marketing decisions that they've made.
Yeah. So,
and it seems like they just, like, whoever's in the marketing team just doesn't quite know what the people want. Like, it can't be as simple as just give them football. Like, no, it's that simple. Like, just
it is
give
that
us
simple.
Like, give us, like, Hank Williams Jr. Monday Night Football from the 2000s. That's what we want.
Exactly. Well, I think to that point, and I agree wholeheartedly, you know, like a lot of other corporate entities circa about 4 or 5 years ago, the NFL leaned pretty hard into the whole, like, you know, social sermonizing,
all the stuff. Social movements, all of them.
And I'll tell you, I think the magical thing about football has always been that it's 3 hours that you can put aside social differences and sermonizing and come together right. around a common thing. And that's always been the magic of it. And the NFL has always been elite at televising football games, right? Yes. This is what they do better than any other pro sport in the world. Mm-hmm. It's still the most popular, the most watched. I mean, the lowest TV rating NFL game still probably outdraws the NBA Finals. I mean, yeah. the fact that, like, you know, you can put on, I don't know, New England and Miami on a Thursday night and it's still going to outdraw, like, Game 7 of the NBA Finals is a testament to the success of the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think in the last 4 or 5 years, they've walked back a lot of the heavy-handed social sermonizing and yeah. They're starting to cater to the fan base like a lot of other companies. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of other companies, like, swung and missed on that moment too, and they're kind of walking it back.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Speaking of walking things back.
Yeah.
Ted, have you at all been privy mm-hmm. to the drama surrounding one restaurant chain, Cracker Barrel?
I have, dude. And it's because, like,
okay.
the one and only form of social media that I'm on is very old man-ish. It's LinkedIn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
that's social media. That's I love that.
That doesn't even count, really. Yeah,
not really.
Doesn't even count. But on LinkedIn, man, the sturm and drang has been loud. There's been a lot of kerfuffling about Cracker Barrel.
Yes.
And they in the span of about 2 weeks, as I understand it, they've walked back their new logo, their new interior design.
Yes.
And I'm glad. I mean, I think, you know, and I've given this sermon before, so I'll keep it short. You know, 30 years ago, we thought the internet was going to be this wild exercise in creative expression. And it's actually had the opposite effect.
It's just to where, dumb.
Yeah, it's created a lot of sameness, right? And it's created this scenario where, you know, Cracker Barrel with this iconic look and feel that you don't have to like, right? That's not really the point. But they've had an iconic look and feel that was unique mm-hmm. to them. And now they're, like, striving to make the inside of their restaurant look like a Airbnb in Cleveland, you know, with gray shiplap and, you know, kind of crappy design elements. And so I'm glad I got walked back. You know, I think we want to live in a world, Josh, where there's some brand uniqueness. Like, you know, you're walking into a Cracker Barrel versus a Applebee's or whatever.
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know, it's it was an interesting moment for sure.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten it? I've never eaten at a Cracker Barrel.
Dude, I have. I've eaten at them often because...
Yeah. Are they okay?
They are. In the Midwest, it's a place that's, like, predictably right off the highway. Like, that's the only place you'll ever find
truck
a Cracker
stop.
Barrel.
A truck
yeah, there's
stop
never,
place.
Like, an in-town Cracker Barrel. And it was always a good place to, like, if we were driving through Indiana on the way to somewhere else... Yeah. It was a good place to, like, meet up with my parents for, like, brunch or a bite or whatever. And the food is predictably okay. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of heavy, greasy, like, American breakfast food. And in that, they do a pretty good job. And they've got the kind of, like, old country, like, tchotchke shop at the front of every Cracker Barrel. So, you know, far from romanticizing it, I have to say I've had some good times at Cracker Barrels, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a place to stop off the highway. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Right on. Well, it was one of those things where it blew up the way that it did.
Yes.
I really don't have any point of reference because I don't think I've ever eaten at one.
Do you guys have them in the PNW or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We don't.
I think it's a very Midwestern.
I think we're too scared to have a restaurant with the word cracker in it.
Exactly. It's a very different connotation up there.
Yeah. I'm glad the cracker and the barrel are back on the logo.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And let's see. So, sorry. I just got a text and that threw me way off here.
No, you're good, man. You're good.
No, my wife is telling me apparently I have eaten at a Cracker Barrel. I don't remember.
I don't.
It was not memorable to me.
Dude, shout out Lauren. She's there in the studio, man.
She's editing me. She's editing me live right
now. Dude, I love that.
Getting live
that
edited.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah. My opinion still stands. I'm glad the cracker's back, even if I have eaten there.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so, Ted. One of the main things I wanted to talk to you about today is that you, my friend, finally went golfing.
Yeah,
you were approached by two lovely, lovely men.
Two gentlemen,
went out of
two
their way,
fans
two
of the program.
Poles to your Timothy, if you will.
Oh, I will.
That
reached out and
took you golfing, which is one of the best things that one man can do for another.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear it all. I want to hear from the beginning, the clothing choice, how the day itself went, if you had any prep, and then post thoughts. I want to hear it all, dude. Walk me through your day of golfing. I'm so excited for you.
So I got to shout out my guys, Blake Ward and Scott Lancaster, two incredible gentlemen, good dudes. Scott, I've known for a long time. He's in my small group, goes to my church. Blake, I'm just getting to know, but is a guy I've heard nothing but good things about over the years. And those two gentlemen reached out to me. They offered to take me to Scully's, which Scully's,
is that
just
the name
like
of the golf course?
Sounds. Yeah, it's the name of the course. Yeah.
Legendary, dude. I love
Yeah, apparently
that.
Old man Scully himself owned the course for many, many decades. And Scully's is it's out on the south side of town, Joshua Loftus. It's a little bit past the outskirts of town. It's right by the Jackson Airport. So Scully's is not Jackson National, okay? Scully's is not sort of a you drink your tea with your pinky out kind of place. It's my kind of place.
Yeah,
so
rough and tumble in your face golf.
Rough and tumble in your face golf. I pull up and I run into one of my former football players from the Buster Bowl, and he was out there and he was out there in jeans and cowboy boots hitting a bucket of balls. And
I love it.
Shout out Colin. Shout Colin Glick. The club was his nickname. The club. He was out there clubbing some balls in his
awesome.
Wranglers and cowboy boots, and I'm like, this is gonna be my kind of place. So. Yeah.
I love laid-back courses like that.
Yeah, by way of prep, I kind of put on the golf shirt, the shirt that I thought would look the most golfish. It's like a Union University
polo.
I put on my Bagger Vance kind of 1920s cap, threw on my sunglasses, slathered a little sunscreen on. I was wearing a pair of Jordans because I don't own golf shoes. And and we went out there, man, and we hit a bucket of balls, and I'll tell you, dude, I was nervous. Like, I taught a full slate of classes before that.
Yeah.
And the whole day I was like, man, I'm going to golf this afternoon. I don't know how this is going to go, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have to say, like, Blake Ward was the best teacher because he set the bar really low for me. And he's like, dude, basically day one of you golfing, he's like, if you're making contact, it's good.
Yeah,
you know,
100%.
He's like, a lot of people.
Absolutely. Well done, Blake.
Yeah, he's like, I've brought people out here before, and they're, like, missing the ball. They're not even making contact. So I would say I made contact 90% of the time.
Nice.
I would say 60% of the time I made pretty solid contact.
Yeah.
And about 30% of the time it went straight.
Yes. Dude, and I got to ask, because I don't get to talk to a lot of people who's like have, like, a first day of golf.
Yeah.
Crushing a ball and watching it go straight.
Dude, it feels really good.
Feeling. Dude,
it's
is it
such
not
a good
an,
feeling, dude.
Is it not an addictive feeling?
It's a very nice feeling. And
oh, dude, you're like, I crushed that thing.
So a couple things on it, and then I have a question for you as a larger golfer.
Yes.
My experience was I felt a lot more comfortable with the 5-iron. I was crushing the 5-iron and controlling where it was going a little bit more, so that was an interesting experience. The driver, when I really hit it square and I laid into it, I got nice distance on the driver, but my driver shots tended to go off to the right. You know, I was really like, you know, veering off to the right with the driver, but I had some more control with the 5-iron, so that was fun. But my issue was you're supposed to keep your left arm straight, and I've got so much bulk up here. Like, my body was designed to, like, stop defensive tackles. And not swing a golf club. And so I've got so much going on in the shoulder and the chest that it's hard for me. Like, I couldn't get that much motion in my swing keeping my left arm straight. So I wondered as a fuller figured man yourself, if you have any tips on, like, you know, how to swing a club for, like, big golfers.
Yeah. So the I'll say this. The rule is, yeah, keep your left arm as straight as you can. Now, what I will say is, in order, if you watch, even if you watch professional golfers, that rotation as it comes up, nobody's arm is 100% straight.
Yeah.
Right. So keep that in your mind as it's the spirit of the law, not the letter of it.
Got it.
Okay. So so when that rotation's coming up, you're naturally going to have some bend because you want to get that full rotation.
Yeah.
Coming back down. So
yeah,
you don't want to look stiff as a board going up and your arm is just sticking up in the air.
Yes.
Right. You do. It is going to naturally bend a little bit because you want that club to be behind you.
Yeah.
And then come sweeping down, right?
Yeah.
The thing with golf is it's the exact same thing with golf and baseball. Although the swings are different, the premise is the same.
Yeah.
The hips are everything. All right? So when you swing, your hips are coming through first.
Yeah.
And then the club is following. Okay. Right? So there's a lot of pro. It's not your bulk. It's your technique.
Yeah,
I'll just say that right now. There are so many pro football players that are amazing golfers.
Yeah,
and they are like way more bulky than you and I will ever be. Right.
Right.
So it's not your body type. It's the technique of figuring out, okay, what does my body allow me to do with the club?
Yeah. Yeah.
And rotation is everything. And
good
dude,
call.
It's just practice. It literally is. Keep that. So they sent me some videos, which was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're getting the rotation down.
Yeah.
Little things that I would tweak were every time you would come up on your upswing, your left foot would pop up. That's going to affect your swing. That's going to cause it to go left and right.
Got
you want to keep that left foot planted. And then when that swing comes down and you follow through after you hit the ball, your right foot pops up.
Oh, okay.
Right?
It pops up
like on its toes, right? So you want to keep your left foot planted. And not have that pop up because that's going to affect the rotation. But anyway, long story short, it's rotation. It's a lot more just understand like, okay, I want to keep this arm as straight as I can. It's not going to stay straight the entire time because otherwise it's going to pop up kind of up in your head versus behind your shoulder.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So next time you go out, just keep that in mind. It's the spirit of the law, not the letter of it.
Great.
Just focus on keeping that arm as straight as you can.
Dude, I'm on the hunt for some cheap clubs now. So if anybody in the Cluck Empire who's local to West Tennessee has some cheap clubs they want to offload, I'm in the market. So
there you go. There you go.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So you hit the range.
Yeah.
You were starting to make some contact.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, let's get on the course.
No, we didn't get on the course. We didn't play nine.
We just hit a bucket.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. So I feel like I need another range day or two, and then I'll be ready to hit the course there at Scully's and see what I got. So
And I'll tell you, Ted, like everyone loves hitting the ball long, hitting it far. Mm-hmm. The game of golf is a game. Every game of golf is played within the 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one. Your short game.
Yeah.
Is what makes or breaks golfers.
There we go.
Because I don't drive the ball far.
Yeah.
Like I usually drive it straight, but I'm not a yardage guy. But my short game is what saves me.
There you go.
Because I'll play with guys that can hit it like, 300 yards.
Yeah.
But don't have short game to save their life. So
Interesting. Those
chips, the chips and putts, man, those are at what ends up saving.
That's where the money's made. Yeah,
it is.
That's where the money's made.
100%. Well, I'm stoked for you. So will you go back? Did you enjoy yourself?
I did. I had a fantastic time. So I'll go back and we'll keep seeing how it goes. Fall is a busy season for me with Lane football and the Buster Bowl. So I don't know how
much
I'll get back, but man, we got some beautiful weeks coming up. Fall in Tennessee is gorgeous. So I think I see myself getting out again. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's
how it
awesome.
Goes.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we just got one more thing. If ever we're able to connect, man, we're hitting the golf course. That'd
I
be
love
a lot
it.
Of fun.
I love it. Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Cigars and golf together, man.
It's the best combo, dude. I'm telling you. Yeah.
Can't wait.
100%. So, okay, Ted. Well, we're going to wrap up here. But before we do, it is the return of album cover reviews. People have been waiting.
Come on.
People have wanted them. So it is time to send them over, my friend. We are starting out with some good ones here. First one is coming over to you. Right now.
Fantastic. Okay, here it is. This is amazing, dude. This is really good.
Yeah.
First of all, I immediately like this lady. Like,
she seems fun.
Yeah, she does. You know, we've got a middle-aged woman kind of looking demurely over her right shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say it, dude. She's curvy, and she's got a full face, and she's got a nice head of hair, mm-hmm. and she looks like she has a sense of humor, mm-hmm. and she looks like she'd be a fun hang. And the I don't know what you call the kind of effect on the design element of this, but it's kind of modeled. It's almost like a Renoir painting. It's almost like impressionistic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it looks better
it's like,
the
it's
further...
Like, it's like Rembrandt, like, just did the background.
Yeah. And I love how on the nose the title of the album is.
Yeah.
The title is Satan, Get Out of Here.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
get out of
she
here.
Wants
you
Satan to get out of here. She's wearing like a nice like doily around like the top of her blue dress. I think that was a vestige of a certain time. And her name is Judy W. And I got a DeLatte. Judy DeLatte, dude.
Judy DeLatte.
I'm in on Judy. So I want to know everything about her. I bet she's a great lady. And she wants Satan to get out of here. So I'm in agreement. Shout out Judy.
Agreed.
Yeah, Judy, 2025 Judy family, if you're listening, like, tell us how she's doing. I hope she's still with us. Yeah,
that's right. If she's still telling Satan to get out of here, let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Ted. Right on. Well, here comes number two, my friend.
All right. Judy DeLatte. All right. This is a jewel case, so it looks like somebody, like, snapped a picture of this and probably sent it to you.
Yeah.
This one's pretty straightforward. This is the Hee Haw Gospel Quartet. So they're just upfront about who they are and what they are. Don't expect like art rock. Don't expect, you know, you're getting the Hee Haw Gospel Quartet. From left to right, I'll just describe these gentlemen.
Yeah.
The guy on the far left is a giant. He looks like, in fact, a poor man's Andre the Giant.
He's probably
going, if I had to guess, about 6'6", 320. It's not a great 320, but there may have been like athletics in his background. He's a big dude. I wouldn't want to mess with
him. He is.
The second guy from the left is wearing kind of your standard plaid shirt. It looks like he's got a Bible open or some kind of book.
It does. Yeah.
He's old. He's bald. He's got a mustache. The microphone's kind of skewing to the left of his face. The third guy's got a guitar and overalls, and the fourth guy just looks completely out of it. But that's the Hee Haw Gospel Quartet, and I feel like without even throwing that CD in, I know exactly what I'm getting there.
I do have to say, props for them, and this is a rare thing for us to see. Props to actually having a correct understanding of what.
Yeah,
a
they got the counting right. Like, I know that was right in front of me, like, and it's so unusual for this
four
exercise
guys and a quartet. Like, we actually did it.
We did it. Nice job, guys. Shout out nice the Hee Haw Gospel Quartet for good counting.
Shout out the Hee Haw.
Yeah. Nice job.
Last one, Ted. Here you go. Coming over to you right now. All right.
Oh my gosh, dude. All right. So I can tell that not a lot of money was spent on the
and by that you mean the
no
$3 for the disposable camera that took this picture.
Yeah. And so the artist is Edna Purcell.
Yes.
And Edna Purcell looks exactly like you imagine she looks. She's probably 62. Again, fuller of figure. She's got a dress on that places this in like the mid 1960s. Mm. She's got kind of the beehive mountain of hair.
Yeah.
And she's just sitting at an organ that appears to not be an expensive organ. Again, I'm not an organ expert, but it doesn't look all that expensive. No. And it looks like she's just in her living room. Like
absolutely she's in her living room.
And it looks like, and I hesitate to even say this because I don't want to besmirch the Edna Purcell or the Purcell name.
Yeah.
It looks like she didn't even really clean up. She didn't move really even like the footstool or the settee to like get the shot right. She's just kind of like, hey, we're in my living room. Just somebody snap
this is,
one.
This is. Can you take this real quick?
I'm going to put my fingers on the keys
tomorrow.
Yeah. Somebody snap a picture. And the name of the record is Hot Cross Buns.
And other favorites. Yeah. Other favorites.
Edna Purcell's Hot Cross Buns. The mind wanders, you know? And dude, it's a good thing Edna Purcell isn't 30 years younger in that picture, or else, you know,
it may have been
a bit of a deal. But yeah. Man, that's Edna Purcell's Hot Cross Buns. Yeah. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
That must have sold thousands of units.
Oh, 100. Yeah, a lot.
Thousands.
A lot. Absolutely. Does Cracker Barrel have Hot Cross Buns? You could probably find this album at Cracker Barrel, actually.
Exactly.
From what
they're selling it in that little like tchotchke shop that they have
that
in the
gift shop
at the beginning.
That
yeah, yeah. The gift shop that you walk through definitely has
Edna Purcell is on full effect there at the
Cracker Barrel. Edna Purcell's huge there. Yeah, Edna Purcell, for the record, I'm friends with her on LinkedIn. She was against the logo upgrade.
She was really glad when they brought.
And she has some great posts on marketing too. On marketing, cold calling. You know,
she's
Edna
like,
Purcell,
make it natural. Just
bit of an
show
influencer.
You, don't change anything.
Yeah, bit of an influencer. She gets up at 4 a.m. She's putting that full face in a bowl of ice water and crushing the day.
Exactly.
It's my gal Edna
eating some hot cross buns early in the morning.
Exactly. Exactly.
Love it. All right, Ted. Well, we're going to get out of here, man. You've got college football to get to, and I've got a sermon
to finish.
It's calling my name. So, we got stuff to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you guys for listening. You know where to find us, at Clutcast on Instagram and Twitter or X. Hit us up with all of your album cover reviews, episode ideas. Ask Coach Clucks, man. We'll answer anything. Ted is here to answer the questions of the world, whether it's football stuff, dating stuff, relationships. Ted loves getting into it. All right, we might not know what we're talking about, but
I'm
we
a
will talk about
world-class meddler.
Yeah. He really is. He really is. Yep. Absolutely. So we thank you all for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode of Cluck. Later.